Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to another edition of Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU. I want to welcome you for joining us this week in what has become here in the Valley, anyway, as our move directly into summer. We jumped right from the 40s and 50s to 87 degrees yesterday, I think, or someday this week anyway, we hit that. So we're a little bit on a roller coaster, but I think we avoided spring. We went right to summer.
We might go back to spring this weekend, though.
Well, we might go back. You're right. But it was the first time that we actually had what I would call baseball and softball weather.
Yeah, definitely.
And there was some activities going on. We had a few teams in action, the men's volleyball, finished theirs. We're looking at baseball and softball and track and field at least. So James DeBoer, our sports information director, is with me again today, and we're going to start off by looking at some of the activities that have occurred within the last week, which I think probably would include the men's volleyball finishing at the CVC tournament and what happened there, and then baseball and softball catching up with some of their rainouts and leading us on in and getting us set for the upcoming ODAC tournament. So, James, why don't you give us a little rundown of what your office has been following?
Well, let's just start with men's volleyball. You mentioned that. They played this past weekend their final regular season games at a CVC East Division weekend. The terminology is always a little crazy with them. It was a division weekend where they played, you know, most of their games. And they came out with too many losses to qualify for the postseason conference tournament, which was a sad ending point for the guys. It was encouraging to see the team finish strong, however, even though basically by the weekend, by the time it came around, they knew they were not going to qualify. They still played well through the entire weekend, and you like to see them finishing strong. They took one game from a nationally ranked Juniata, a very good program, and they ended the day with a win over Teal, ended the season with a win over Teal, which was great because they'd played the Tomcats three times previously throughout the year, and I believe all of them were certainly losses. I believe they were all 3-0 losses. And so it was nice to see them flip things around and come out with a 3-1 win to end the season. It's their first winning regular season since 2008. So, and that win over Teal clinched, otherwise it would have been a losing season. They finished one win over 500. So it was a strong ending for the guys, despite the disappointment. They finished 2-6 in the CVC East. So they miss out on the conference tournament for the second year in a row. And it was a good finish for the guys, especially with the five seniors in the team. You know, those guys want to go out on a positive note.
And that's one thing to say for them is that certainly after going up to that tournament on Friday evening, losing to Karen, that pretty well sealed the deal. Yeah. They still had an outside chance that they won all three matches up there. So losing the first one to Karen, who they ended up down at the bottom of the conference with, that certainly put the spirits down, and to see them come back and actually take Teal was positive. One of the things that has been a critique or a reality, I guess you will, of the men's volleyball over the last couple of years, this year, no change in that, and that is the inconsistent play. And again, we've talked about it a couple of times. Some of that may come from the schedule that they have to play, where there's a lot of it's really hard to get into a rhythm of games like there is in softball, baseball, basketball, soccer, etc. So that may be one of them. But as we saw in the one, Stevenson was here in town a couple of weeks ago, right before the conference weekend. And they had that one in the hand. We already talked about that. And then it was four different players who made a mistake, but it was four in a row and it was a different player every time. And that's just the kind of inconsistency. And you have those four that make the bad mistake one right after the next and they do it. So I think that happened to Karen the same way, came out strong, didn't finish as strong. And that's been one of the things. So how you turn that around is something I'm sure Gary Moore is going to be studying over the offseason.
Let's take a look at some of the other sports as well. Men's golf at an Invitational over the weekend, playing down in Roanoke. That was exciting for the guys, I know, because almost all the teams from the ODAC were at that Invitational. The guys had a disappointing finish to that one. They looked solid after day one, led a couple of the ODAC teams, and just had a rough day two, had the high score, I guess you say, in golf. Right. Had the high score of day two and slid down into last place out of the crew that was there. But that was their final event going into the ODAC Championships, which are another week and a half away. And you know that's going to give the guys a little more a little more drive, I think, to finish strong, because they can certainly finish better than where they did at that Roanoke meet, and I think they're going to be interested in moving up in the
Well, there's certainly no doubt about it that the lack of tournament play really comes into play here with them. I was talking to the assistant coach yesterday, and he indicated to me that when he was playing Division I golf, they used to always tell him to add 5 strokes to whatever you normally do during your practice rounds when you get into tournament play. It's just that level there. So if you take some of these kids, it's been a long time since they've played in high school, some of them, because we do have a number of seniors. And so it's one thing to go out and practice on the course here at Heritage Oaks. It's another thing to get into tournament play, one-on-one, et cetera, and all of that. So they are preparing themselves and getting ready. I know there was disappointment. And again, you got to do it 2 days in a row. We're in the tournament now. It's going to be 3 days in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Track teams had a busy weekend last weekend. A couple pretty solid finishes. One interesting thing we're seeing with the track team is they're still working through a few injuries. And as part of that, I think they just added, I guess we call it a meet, this weekend. They're sending 3 athletes to George Mason. So just sending 3, I think it's 3 of what's considered their top athletes, just trying to get them in final game shape for the ODAC Championships, which are the following weekend. But so they just added that to the schedule. They'll go up to George Mason, Fairfax area this weekend on Saturday. So it'll be fun to see some of the results come back from that. Baseball and softball, both with home games earlier this week. And I think for both of them, disappointing to come out with losses. The softball team was swept by Randolph College. That's a team they can certainly play with and can certainly beat. And we hit the ball, the softball team did, but just left a ton of runners on base and came out with losses in both of them. So disappointing for them. And the baseball team played Bridgewater College. And that's just fun and interesting. And pick out your adjective and throw it in there because, for one, it's Bridgewater. It's a rivalry. It's always a little more interesting against Bridgewater. But then we've got this whole extra dynamic of our coach having been over there the last, decade plus. And so I talked with Ben a little bit afterwards, and he said, I had a great time over there. They've been good for me. But he said, at this point, they're just a team we need to beat right now. That's where we want to be, and that's the team we need to beat. And so that was his focus. I think for the guys, it was tough schedule-wise to have to play that game in the middle of the week. It came right after a very busy weekend with 4 games in 2 days. We went through, most of our starting pitching staff. And so Wednesday was scheduled to be a staff day, which generally means we're going to throw a guy out there every couple of innings and hope to keep you off balance because you don't get to see him very often. And it worked for a while. It was a close game after about 6 innings, and then the Eagles put on a couple more runs and came out with the win. So just interesting, that whole matchup. Certainly, it's always fun to get the rivalry together like that.
Well, and to add to that discrepancy in terms of the pitching, Bridgewater College was just starting to shift one of their number one pitchers into a weekday mode because that's when he's going to have to pitch in the tournament, which will start on a Thursday. Uh-huh. So instead of being a weekend, I think he was certainly their number one last year. He may still be their number one this year, although he struggled a little bit. So at the same time, we've run out of pitchers. They're turning their number one pitcher and resting him the weekend before so he can start pitching midweek. So, and then certainly the personal stories that are there. Ben recruited almost all those guys, yeah. And many of them he hadn't seen since he left last summer. And so he still has to go through that emotional heave one more time when they go over to Bridgewater next week. But all in all, and Kurt said the same thing, the athletic director and baseball coach from Bridgewater, he said, hey, he told his guys, friendships are friendships, but today's a ball game, and they're a competitor just like we are, and we have to beat them. So, all the side stories are going into it, but I think both coaches, certainly understand where both programs are, and one's on the rise and one's at the top. So I think he can feel pretty good about that and be ready to go. So they got a couple coming up, I believe. What's on tap for the weekend here within the next week or so?
This weekend, if you want to watch the EMU Royals at home, I'm sorry you're out of luck. Everybody's on the road.
We get a day off?
Well, yes. Excited for that.
Yes.
It's fun.
We do. You have to write articles.
I'll be writing articles from home. But baseball and softball, both at Virginia Wesleyan on Saturday. The softball team will also play Randolph-Macon on Sunday, but a big weekend for both of these teams. For the baseball team, they're still kind of in the hunt for the ODAC tournament bid. It's going to be a push, and they need to do it strong. And Virginia Wesleyan is one of those teams that they're going to have to pass to get there. So winnable games for the baseball team this weekend. It should be great to see our top pitchers back on the hill. And so it should be very interesting games for the baseball team at the Marlins. For the softball team, we've been kind of struggling a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and we get Virginia Wesleyan, who is one of the teams at the top of the conference in the softball standings, a very good offensive team and a couple of really good pitchers. So it's going to be a very tough matchup for the softball team against Wesleyan. And even on Sunday at Randolph-Macon, the Yellow Jackets, maybe a couple steps down in the conference standings, but also very good softball team. So both baseball and softball, interesting and very key road games this weekend. I mentioned outdoor track, adding a small meet Saturday. And then women's golf, they have a one-day tournament on Saturday up in Maryland, the final warm-up for the women's golf team, also for the ODAC Championships coming up.
Well, if you're in the area, make sure that you check out what's going on campus within the next week. There'll be a couple home games the following week. As we come to the end of the season and we start to count the actual number of home contests that there are anymore, it does bring to mind the fact that Phil Gingrich, who has been our events coordinator for the last 10 years, maybe not all 10 years as events coordinator, but after retiring from elementary school teaching here in the county, he moved over here and took a position with us and started running the events. And if any of you have been to home games, you'll know that he's in charge of the concession stand and grills the burgers and the hot dogs, which he always enjoys doing. If you've come to an indoor event, he's always helping to run the concession stand. He's done a great job of coordinating all of the work study kids. Mm-hmm. He's responsible to get people to run the lines and to run the score clock. And can't say enough about the professionalism with which he has trained the student workers to think that we are probably the only one in the ODAC and some others that use students to run the game clock at a basketball game, and they ran it for the NCAA tournament games that we had here as well, where they usually want adults to do that, and our kids have just done a phenomenal job. Many times we call the lines for volleyball matches, and we're always commented about how professional they are and how good a job they do, probably better than some other people that would come from the local community to do it. So we certainly are going to miss him in terms of all those responsibilities. He's also been a main contact in the local community for advertising. He seeks all the advertising for the game day programs we have and the banners on there. So he's filled a number of roles, and it's with a little bit of trepidation that I say that we're not actually going to replace him with one person. And we're going to divvy out some of his responsibilities among some other coaches. One of our dilemmas here has been that most of our coaching positions are only rated at halftime, and halftime does not give benefits to any employee. So we're always trying to either get the position rated as a three-quarter time position, full-time for 9 months, if you will, whatever language you want to use, because at a 75% position, they get benefits. So we're always trying to get positions up to that, and there are some areas in which we really do need to work at getting our coaching staff to that three-quarter time position so they can be here full-time and not have to be splitting their jobs with something else. So for a number of years, we've looked at this and we've said that we certainly don't think that our service to the general public is going to diminish at all. We're going to follow through in the same way. It's just that there's not going to be one person dedicated to it like Phil has been doing, but there's going to be a head coach or an assistant coach who will be responsible for it. So wanted to make sure to just give a shout out and kudos to Phil for what he has done for us over the years. His attention to detail has made everything run very smoothly, sometimes giving some people anxiety at times because he gets pretty anxious as things are coming up. And if you happen to be in the area, he's going to give one final benefit back to the EMU, and that is the fact that he's going to grill one of his famous burgers, and it's going to be complete with a complete meal, I believe, including a peanut butter pie.
From his wife, yeah.
From his wife.
Which is probably worth more than the burger, actually.
That's probably true. So I think it's a burger, chips, drink, and then this pie.
And a candy bar.
Oh, and a candy bar. Yeah. Okay.
Got dessert.
That's on bid right now, silent auction. That's not really silent because you got to put your name down beside it. But anyway, that's being bid right now. I think one's at $165. The baseball I know is at $165. The other one I think is at $150.
That's right.
And we also have somebody who anonymously will match up to $200.
For each of them.
So for each of them. So if you're in the area and you want to take care, he's going to do it on the 20th.
Well, the baseball will be on the 20th because that's their final home game. Because softball rescheduled the game to the 21st, to that Sunday, he'll do the softball one on the Sunday.
Okay, so I'm not sure when the bidding ends, but if you want in on it, make sure you give me a call. at 432-4646. Send me an email or stop in at one of our home games and add your bid to it, and maybe you'll be the lucky one to get it. So thanks very much to Phil. I would probably have him come on here, but I think he'd be pretty uptight. He's a behind-the-scenes man that likes to stay there. We still may try to do that in May or June to have him talk about his experiences here. But anyway, thanks very much to Phil for all that he's done, and to assure you folks that are coming into games that things will remain much the same. We presume from the outside perspective, we're just going to have to organize a little bit better in a way that we think will help the athletic program as a whole, because we will be able to have coaches who are here on a full-time basis helping out with a variety of ways, and hopefully we can get some of the assistant coaches to pick up on some of that. So the service to the customer is not going to be diminished, but we can organize a little bit different. So wanted to make sure to mention that, and if you have a chance to say your goodbyes to Phil sometime while you're on campus, make sure to do that. Thanks for joining us this week, and until we talk again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.